Hi, this is Pastor Bob, and today I'm going to talk to you about 10 things that will strengthen a marriage, your marriage, your friend's marriage. So stay tuned, grab a piece of paper, and you're going to want to write these things down. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. This is Pastor Bob, and I am talking to you from the relatively soundproof walls of our great South Coast radio station, WSAR 1480. And I'm joined in the studio by our very capable studio director, Jennifer. So I want to thank you, Jennifer, for being here and editing out all of my coughs and sneezes and all of those other things. So I just want to thank her and also the WSAR team here for making me feel welcome and giving me great advice in the ins and outs of this particular broadcast. So don't touch that dial. I'm going to bring you a little bit of help. I've got about 10 things I want to share with you today that are going to be helpful keys to a successful marriage. As always, I'm Pastor Robert Bernier. I'm the pastor of Christian Life Church in Rehoboth, Mass. We're located just about 3 miles north of the Swansea Mall on Route 118 in Rehoboth. And our purpose in this next half hour is to bring life to your life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And so we just look at it this way, that we're going to bring God close to you. Hopefully we'll bring you a little closer to God. If you would like to reach us, you can go to our website at www.clcrehoboth.com. Follow the links. You can send us an email. If you have a need, if you need prayer, feel free to put your name down there. You can even put your initials, send it out, and make a prayer request. Maybe there's a special need in your life or something that you're facing. We'd love to pray for you. One of the things that our region needs is good marriages. And in my last broadcast, I talked about some of the 5 building blocks of a good marriage. And I talked about these 5 things are like the fingers on a hand, a thumb, forefinger. If you could just number the numbers on a hand, a thumb, communication. Let me give you all 5. Communication, faith, finances, family, and fun. These are all things that need to go into your marriage preparation, but also in your marriage strengthening. And all of those require some level of communication. And so let me just raise this thought. Why do we need good marriages? Well, let me tell you a story. There was a period of time in the nation of Israel that is recorded in the Bible where Jeremiah, the prophet, he's the pastor, if you will, and his job was to help people go through a very difficult time. They were facing exile. And when you face exile, you confront a lot of fears, a lot of difficulties ahead, maybe some uncertainties. And here's what Pastor Jeremiah had to say. He had to tell the nation, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Now, picture this. He's telling people that they're going to be going to another land, and he's telling them to build houses, plant produce, eat the produce of the field, take wives, have sons and daughters. In other words, continue your families that they might have, so 2 or 3 generations, that they might have children. Multiply there and do not decrease. In other words, even in a difficult time, God wants to bring increase to you and to your family. He wants you to do better. Now, as these people went, he said something else which is very profound. He said to them, when you're there, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For as in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Now, if you're listening to me and say, great, you're telling me to go to the city and get welfare. No, that's not the meaning of that word. That means is that what that means is that when you went to the city, you were to seek the benefit of that city. And as the city did well, you would do well. Your family would do well. Your children would do well. And Pastor Jeremiah continued to tell his congregation this. He said, and these were the words of the Lord. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans for wholeness, not evil. Isn't that a good thing? That it was for good, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. See, God wants to give hope to people. He wants to tell them that even when you're facing difficult times, there's hope in the end. So today we're going to talk about 10 things that will strengthen your marriage. I usually use these 10 things when I preach someone's wedding and I share the gospel at that wedding. I will tell them, listen, these are the 10 things that will help you. These are not the only things that need to go in a marriage, but these are some of the 10 things that need to go into a marriage. You know, I also think about this region. I think most of the people that I talk to, if they're not Native American, there are some, but most of the people that we know have probably come from other countries as immigrants. It's quite possible that your grandfather or great-grandfather had to face an uncertain future, and yet they had to come here by faith and multiply. They had to have families and continue modeling what it was to have a good marriage. And as a result, they served as models. And so no matter where you're at today, whether you're in a good marriage or whether you're in a troubled marriage, whether you used to be married, or even if you are in a position to help someone, these 10 things will help you understand these are good things that will strengthen your marriage. Now, marriages are a place where people can grow. And in every marriage, you have to grow. So let's take first things first. Listen, if you're an 18-year-old listening to this, take a piece of paper, write these 10 things down, and put it in your wallet and look at them some other time. One of the last scriptures in the Bible, it talks about marriage, and it says there's going to be a marriage supper in heaven. And so the topic of marriage is something that God really cares about. The beginning of the Bible was a marriage, Adam and Eve. The middle of the Bible, marriages, wedding ceremonies. And so, listen, I believe that the reason why you want marriages is it provides a stable environment to raise families, and then it becomes a stable environment for cities and the community at large. So here are 10 things that will strengthen your marriage. And I'm going to give you all 10, and then we'll talk about each one. Number one, kindness. Number two, humility. Number three, work. Number four, patience. Five, just write down the word bearing, and then we'll talk about that in a minute. So those are the first five things. You need to forgive, you need to love, you need to be thankful. You need to have an attitude of gratitude. You need to sing, you need to grow. So let's talk about those things in detail. Number one, kindness. Small acts of kindness. You know, it could be something as simple as opening the car door for your spouse, or cooking your spouse's favorite meal, or listening when they've had a difficult day at work, or understanding when they're just not themselves and giving them some room. Every act of kindness that you bring to your marriage will strengthen your marriage. And you know what? No marriage can do without it. In fact, marriages that fail, often what will happen is just a lack of kindness will take over. It'll carry over into your speech. It'll carry over into your actions. Kindness can set a mood in the home, and it'll set a mood in the family. So don't forget to do acts of kindness. It doesn't take a lot of money. It could mean offering to make the evening meal, or to wash the dishes, or to carry the laundry basket from the basement up to the third floor bedroom or second floor bedroom. You know, every act of kindness will help to build. You know, let me just say this. One of the greatest acts of kindness can be how you treat your spouse when you are in the presence of others. One of the things that I've learned over the years that makes me feel very uncomfortable is when husbands and wives will make fun of each other in an unkind way when you're out having dinner or in some sort of family gathering. You know, there's a place for humor in every marriage, and there's good humor, but I would rather listen to someone who's self-deprecating and would rather laugh at themselves than for someone else to make fun of their spouse. Kindness will go a long way. Number two, humility. Every marriage needs a measure of humility. You know, when you hear someone say, well, I did this and I did that, and I'm the better one, and you're the weaker one, that kind of talk will eventually affect your family and your friends and in a negative way. If you want to strengthen your marriage, walk humbly. See, when you walk humbly, you don't think of yourself in better terms than you should. When you walk humbly, it's something that's just close to the heart of God. When you walk humbly, you're able to receive instruction. When I went to school, I had to learn how to bear up under criticism, because every project that was brought forth would be critiqued. I had never been instructed with critique before. And so critiquing somebody can be downright blunt. Sometimes it's helpful. Sometimes it could be sarcastic. But when you walk humbly, you are in a position to learn. You know, today you watch TV, there are a lot of reality shows. One of the things that advances some of these folks is that they exhibit some sense of humility. They don't get axed by the judge because of their pride. Well, it's the same thing in marriage. You've got to walk humbly. Number three, you've got to work. Every marriage needs people who are going to work. You need to not only work at the marriage, you need to work outside the marriage. Nothing destroys a marriage more than somebody who refuses to get up and go to work. Laziness starts to eat away at a marriage. You know, even before you get married, when you evaluate whether or not this is someone you could spend the rest of your life with, you should ask yourself, is this a person who's willing to work, or is this person not serious about earning a living? Because sooner or later, work is going to come up. Now listen, in your marriage, work issues are going to come home. There's going to be stressful days. There are going to be days where the boss was cross. And there are going to be days when the labor was hard. There are going to be days where you probably get hurt in your job. You know, if you're a carpenter, you'll come home with splinters. If you're a mechanic, you're going to come home with oil under your fingernails. If you're a typist, your fingers might be raw and you might be developing a little carpal tunnel syndrome or something from repeated use of those limbs. Listen, there's going to be some hard days, but work issues and work as just a topic is an important thing that will strengthen your marriage. Listen, all work is profitable. Do your labor and do it willingly. Being a good laborer or being a good worker will actually strengthen your marriage. You don't know the numbers of people I've met who are just simply good providers because they are workers. Your family needs to be provided. Your marriage needs to be strong. And to be strong, you need to be a good worker. So number four, one more thing that will help strengthen your marriage. And it's a big one, the word patience. Patience. Let me give you my favorite definition of the word for patience. Patience is the ability to suffer without complaining. Now, not everyone's going to suffer. You need to be patient for lots of reasons. But whether you are a coach or a mom or dad or a husband and wife, you need to develop a kind of a spirit of patience. And like I said, patience is suffering without complaining. You know, some people suffer, but they complain through the whole thing. And it doesn't make for a good marriage. What you need to do is you need to be patient and kind of endure things. And we're going to get to endurance in a minute. But being patient is the ability to kind of take things and kind of bear up and be quiet about things. And there are going to be many days where a parent is going to have to be patient. And if you've had more than one child, Mom, Dad, you better be patient. Listen, you're listening to WSAR 1480, and this is Life with Pastor Bob. We bring life to your life, and we're talking today about the 10 things that will strengthen marriage. The first one was kindness, followed by humility. Number three, work, be workers. And number four is patience. And now we're talking about topic number five, bearing. Now, what do I mean by bearing? I mean, think about it this way. Sometimes a marriage means that one or both of you are going to have to endure something. Every marriage faces trials, difficulties, problems, challenges at times. And sooner or later, you might even have to bear up a complaint or some other issue. And I've heard it said this way, one of you is going to hurt. And so the other one needs to bear up with that hurt, and you might need to bear up with the one that did the hurting. Sometimes people go through things. Every now and again, someone's going to get hurt in marriage. Something irritating will take place, or there'll be some other offense. Well, we're supposed to learn from these things. You know, just let me just use this example. Sooner or later, a ball club will lose a game. I mean, I like the fact that the Patriots won the other day, but I'm sure the Colts were not happy. Well, I'm in New England. I get to just maybe say rah-rah for the home team. But you know what? Sooner or later in a marriage, there are going to be some days where you lost the game. You bought the wrong thing. You put a hole in the wall. The car came home dented. A salesman came home and lost an important account. And that might mean that, you know, you'll have less of less income this year. Husband might forget the dry cleaning, and or maybe there's a dent that showed up and nobody knows where it came from. You know, one of my dear friends got married. He married his sweetheart, only to find out within a month after he married that she got MS. And for the next 25 years, he cared for her. He had caretakers. She had daycare, but for many, many years, he took care of her. But during that time, he had to endure. He many times came to work late. If the care worker was late, he was late. And so he was always rushing in. Now, he had to endure far more than I did, but I could be impatient, if you will. I could be unkind, and I could blame him for being late, or I could just endure it and work together and help that individual. Pray for that individual, support that individual, because he had limitations on his time. I can't tell you the numbers of husbands and wives who have to endure difficulties, loss of job, a family member that is being mistreated, it's a kid with a learning problem, or somebody with some other need in their family. Maybe the water heater goes just when you've paid off all the bills, you're just about to, you know, pay the mortgage, and you all of a sudden you have $1,000 bill. Listen, let me tell you, if you want to have a stronger marriage, you have to be able to endure some things. Some people expect no one to have to endure it. They complain, there's no patience, and the minute there's a problem, there's no endurance. Let me just say this. If Jesus can change water into wine, he can give you the ability to endure lots of things. And I'm not saying that you should endure abuse or that there aren't some very serious things that happen in people's lives. There are times when you just feel that if nobody helps you, you're not going to be able to get up. And I understand those feelings. But what we're talking about here are things that strengthen marriage. And one of the things that I have found over the years, families and husbands and wives that have lasted, they've endured a lot of things. There has been a lot of give and take, but they also were able to endure even through difficult times. One of the things that people endure is one of the things that it creates in a marriage is it creates an opportunity for husbands and wives to have a little bit of room to express themselves. Listen, if you are a perfectionist, you are a general. You're the kind of person that everything has to be perfect. You oftentimes will not create the kind of home that anyone can live in. Their spouse can't bring home a friend for dinner. You know, there's a little bit of dust in the corners. Listen, you have to be able to endure a few things. Now, listen, if you're listening to us, you're listening to us on WSAR 1480, right here, South Coast Radio. If you're listening online, you're listening to www.wsar.com. And today we're talking about 10 things that will strengthen your marriage: kindness, humility, working hard, making work a part of your life, patience, and then bearing up, carrying things, bearing up even when things are difficult. I don't want to say putting up. That just doesn't sound right. Putting up with you. I don't like to hear that. What I'm saying is that we have to learn how to endure lots of things. How much time do we have, Jennifer? About 4 minutes. Well, I'm going to have to go real quick or maybe pick up on some of these things in our next conversation. But let me just say this. One of the things that will strengthen your marriage is the ability to forgive. Not only to forgive, the ability to apologize and change. You know, if you acted like an idiot today and your spouse forgave you, how about saying, you know, I acted like an idiot today. Would you forgive me? And, you know, so you need the two working together. You need the person able to apologize or repent, but we also have the need for someone to really forgive. How many times have you heard someone say, well, I forgive, but I don't forget? Well, who taught you that? That's not a value that will strengthen your marriage. I'll tell you what. Husbands and wives that are successful have learned to forgive. There are too many things that happen in life that are not worth bearing up forever and ever. You got to let some things go. Here's my definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the ability to erase a debt owed. In other words, it's the ability to say, you know what, you don't owe me anything. It's the ability to say, you know what, if I were in your position, I would want someone to forgive me. So therefore, I'm going to forgive you. You know, one time someone tried to ask Jesus the question, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Jesus said, not 7 times. 70 times 7 times. I did the math one time. 70 times 7 times is what? 490 times? If you subtract the time you sleep, it's sort of like forgiving someone every 2 minutes. Jesus said, if someone asks you to forgive him 70 times 7 times, I want you to forgive. And here's what I think that means. I think it means that you have to have an attitude of forgiveness. I don't think you could be a good parent without the ability to forgive. And you know what? It's the same thing in marriage. You have to forgive. Now, I've got 4 more things. I know we're going to run out of time, but I want to make sure that I touch on these a little bit. Listen, love, the ability to love, charitable love, giving love, not love that expects in return, but a love that gives, is something that's going to strengthen your marriage. Thankfulness, being thankful, an attitude of gratitude will strengthen your marriage. Singing. You know, I went online and found a song from the 70s, and I'm not going to say who it is, but there are a couple of songs on there that when my wife and I were dating, you know, this was a popular song, and we'd think of each other when this song was playing. And so I went out of my way to find this ancient CD. I don't know how old it was, but I found it. Bell Bottoms. Guy had an afro on the thing. But listen, singing, bringing a song into your heart, bringing a song into your house. You know, Paul told the church to sing in their hearts, to make a melody in their hearts. Well, you know what? In your home, make your house a melody. Make it a song. And finally, number 10, you've got to grow. You've got to grow as people. You've got to learn from your mistakes. You know, at church, we tell people to grow in God and to grow in Christ. But you know what? In a marriage, you've got to grow. Good marriages grow, and you grow through difficult times as well as good times. Allow God into your life. So listen, take these 10 things. If you forget them, send me an email ask the radio station, what are these 10 things that this guy was talking about? I want a list of those 10 things. We'll be happy to send you a list of those 10 things. How much time do we have, Jen? About a minute. Well, listen, I'm not an expert at these things. I don't expect you to be an expert. I just want you to know that these are 10 things that will help you strengthen your marriage. You've been listening to another edition of Life with Pastor Bob. So listen, today we talked about 10 things that will strengthen your marriage. I don't presume that you have the perfect marriage, but I just want you to have a better marriage. And these 10 things will help strengthen your marriage. Hey, I want to just offer you this thought. If you are struggling in your marriage, seek out your pastor or somebody, a friend, and say, listen, I need some help. I want to make a better go of things. I want to strengthen my marriage. Listen, reach out to somebody. Take these list of 10 things and say, here's where we're struggling. Communicate with your spouse and say, I want to do a better job. And I just want to encourage you that God can help you have a stronger marriage. Goodbye and God bless. You've been listening to another edition of Life with Pastor Bob, a weekly radio show that brings life to your life. This program is sponsored and supported by the members and friends of Christian Life Church in Rehoboth, Massachusetts. Christian Life Church is located at 222 Plain Street in Rehoboth, Mass. Our website is www.clcrehoboth.com. Our weekly worship services are at 9:30 every Sunday morning. We hope to see you there. God bless.